It's time for Kearney Live. Today on Kearney Live, we're talking to Erica Rose from the Kearney High School, Spencer Stewart from the Kearney Chamber of Commerce, and Dr. Emily Miller from the Kearney School District. And now, here are Stacy Bratcher, Nick Vasquez, and Spencer Stewart.
Hello and welcome to Kearney Live. My name is Stacy Bratcher and I'm here with my friends Nick Vasquez and Spencer Stewart. And sitting behind the cameras running everything is executive producer and general manager Brian Watts.
Hi guys, glad to have you here today.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us on, Brian, and thanks for taking care of all of the things that make this so that make the show happen.
That's what the executive producer does.
Well, I know the boys earlier were complaining about their red M&Ms not being here, so.
Well, like I said, they have to have their people call me, and my people get in touch with their people, and we'll all get it sorted out.
We'll see how that works. Okay, good job. So, I heard that this week we, elected a new pope.
Yes.
Does anyone know anything about this?
I know very little.
I know it's Pope Leo.
Yes. And I know that you're looking for the black smoke, white smoke.
Right.
And they got the white smoke.
And it didn't take near as long as it normally, in the past, it's taken, it seems like, it's
weeks.
Probably just been days, but it seems like it's been weeks.
Yes.
And this only took couple of days?
Yeah, a couple of days.
2 days, yeah.
Wow. And was there ever any black smoke, do we know? Or was it just immediately?
It was one day. I think there was one day of black smoke.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, and he's American.
This is true.
That the big news?
First one.
That's crazy. I never thought I'd see that, honestly, in my lifetime.
Here we are.
And how old is he?
69.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. 69.
Yes.
Dang. All right. So be on the lookout for Pope Leo. Let's see what he comes up with.
Yep.
Funny little story. I had a neighbor down the road when I was growing up, and the neighbors were senior citizens, but living with them was the female neighbor's father, and his name was Pa Leo. So this feels very at home. Not that I'm Catholic, but to have a Pope Leo reminds me of Pa Leo. So just silly little story. Anyway, how about those Royals?
We love baseball.
We love baseball.
Yes.
Yes.
They're doing well.
Has anyone been to a game?
Went to one. We went to one. Went to saw the Houston Astros.
Awesome.
People, in case anyone's wanting to know, people still do not like Jose Altuve. I told my wife about that. She didn't know anything about it. And then he came up to bat and this cacophonous boo. She's like, you're right. I said, yes. Every time.
That's hilarious. So. Well, I believe they're over 500. We're doing
winning.
Well. Bobby Witt's bat is still hot, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully. I knock on some wood there.
Long season.
Yes. We're not even close to the All-Star break yet, but this is exciting. Very exciting.
And no pitch clock. I wish we would have never had that. No pitch clock.
Okay, tell us more. What do you not like?
If you're in a hurry, don't buy a baseball ticket.
Some people buy tickets for the fun stuff they do besides baseball. Today's Star Wars Day at the K.
Okay.
Which you'd think would be on May the 4th.
They weren't home.
They weren't home.
They weren't home. That's true.
It's all right.
Doing the fun stuff. My kids asked me one time if they could go back and do all the stuff at Kauffman. I said, if you do that, that will be the last game I bring you to.
Yeah. I've always wanted to go to Bark at the Park. That looks so fun with all the dogs dressed up.
And
My husband and I got to go the week of April 22nd. There was that double header because one game was rained out.
That's right.
We sat two rows behind the home dugout and got to see the two games. Oh, that was the best thing
ever.
There
we go.
Best thing. And guess what? I'm going to go tomorrow for Mother's Day. So
all right.
I can't wait.
Well, enjoy. Good, good. Oh, it's always a good day at the park.
All right. Well, enough of that. But go Royals. We love you. Next up, I am going to introduce you to the brand new market manager for the Kearney Community Market. He's going to tell us all about what you can expect this season. Stay with us.
Thank you. Explore a place to visit. Explore knowledge. Explore fun. Explore relaxation. Explore adventure. Explore a hometown. Explore Kearney, Missouri.
And welcome back to Kearney Live. We had the opportunity at the Kearney Chamber of Commerce to hire Spencer Stewart to be the new market manager at the Kearney Community Market. He is also serving as the programs and events manager at the chamber. So I wanted to bring him onto the show today to introduce him to you and to share more about what's coming up at the Kearney Market, because he's so excited and has so many plans for it. Spencer, welcome.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. So tell us just a little bit more about you. What brought you to this job and what are you excited about?
Yeah, so I'm born and raised in Kearney. I've lived all over the last couple years, and when I moved back, I knew I wanted to get involved. So Chamber had a job open to get involved in the city, and I took it. And after getting the job and getting in the groove of things, I realized that Farmers Market was really going to be my bread and butter, and I was really got excited over that, and had one. So we're good to go. Yeah,
we did have one. So, go ahead.
Why were you so excited about that with that?
The farmers market, just my background and my family being in agriculture, I really thought that Kearney, being such an ag-centric town, needed to have a great farmers market. And pairing that, being a farmers market, with some of the new changes we've made through the chamber to make it a community market and really tie our ag background as a city with, you know, the new things happening in our community.
Nice. Tell us about
I just like to see people out and about.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like to see people out and about in the community. I like to see people participating. And actually, I mean, not to sound cold, but spending dollars. It's good for our community. It's good for everybody, especially in those situations. It passes through so many more hands.
Well, and gathering together, meeting up somewhere. Yes. We've discovered lately that people are just so busy that they're not showing up now to the things that they normally would because they're overextended. But at between 7 and noon on a Saturday, you can just take a leisurely stroll through the community market.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like the fact that the chamber has that event on our docket because we do support local business and our actual businesses, but our farmers and some of our smaller businesses, we also support them through the market. So we're really trying to cover all our bases on who we're supporting in the community, not just the brick and mortar retail or anything like that, but also, you know, the small guys, the farmers.
Well, keeping a wide spectrum, making sure that everybody has an opportunity to showcase.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
The first market was a success. Yes, I was out there with a little clicker. If you guys saw me, I clicked 770 times, and that was just what I saw. So
I think I clicked like 5 times because you handed me the clicker, and I was like, ah!
So be vigilant and make
sure. A lot of pressure.
It was.
Estimated over 800, though, at the first market, which is just amazing. It's more than I could have hoped for. Beautiful weather, our vendors showed up, and since that market, we've gotten even more vendors. So our numbers are continuing to grow on the vendor side. And, you know, that's the thing about the market, and one of the challenges of planning it from my perspective is not only am I taking care of the vendors and their market experience, but also the community.
Right.
Right? So it's a very two-sided market. Yeah, the guests and the people that are trying to come to the market and have a good time.
And all the dogs, too.
And the dogs. Lots of dogs. And
Well, I think to that point, there's something to be said for having a full parking lot.
Yeah.
When people drive by, even if we weren't planning to attend, and you see a large, like, there's so many tents out there, and now there's so many people. Now I feel like I'm missing out on something, and I'm going to go check it out.
Right.
Yeah. And the optics are everything. Location's great. We did have a full house. The vendors were taking up a lot of space. Like you said, if you drive by, you know, it really does, it's like, what's going on over there? But on the other side, not just optical, the vendors did really well. We had a couple that had sold the most they'd ever sold.
Yes.
And we had a couple more sell out, which...
Sold out of their stuff.
Sold out. They sold everything they brought, which is a win for on all accounts, right? Some people got what they came to the market for, and the vendors sold their stuff. So I was a very happy market manager.
Yes. Even some of our vendors that are a little harder to please, even they were happy.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it was really awesome. And it's a very cyclical thing with these markets. You know, the vendors want to come if you have more people. The people want to come if you have more vendors. And so it's that chicken or the egg scenario that the first market really determined, you know, I think, how the season is going to go, how the rest of the season is. And that goes May through October. So every Saturday, rain or shine,
there
in the parking lot, that's where we'll be.
Now, you added a new little section to the market.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
So a lot of the other great markets, you know, in surrounding towns and areas, they're in different locations than ours, all right? We're in the middle of town because we want it to be accessible to people that live in town. Obviously, lots of highway traffic and foot traffic, but like some of the other markets are in parks, and there's places to sit and places to relax, and getting people to stay, taking care of my vendors, that makes them spend money. So we wanted to open up a little area where people can sit and enjoy themselves and relax. So having a couple picnic tables out and getting some music going has really transformed that parking lot from a parking lot into a community event. So I think that that's been a great move. And it's also going to be an area to facilitate some of our activities that we do throughout the season. You know, Father's Day, Memorial Day, 4th of July, there's lots of different market activities that we'd like to do because, like we said, it's not just the farmer's market anymore. There's more stuff going on in the community market. Our local businesses are getting involved. They're coming out. People are volunteering their time. And, you know, we're always looking for more volunteers, as you guys know. That's always the that's always the challenge. But, you know, really, the market has been a great place so far to come out, connect with the community, and...
So it sounds like you've done a lot of great planning, a lot of great setup, a lot of work, and a lot of time into that.
Yeah.
You've had a great first market.
Yeah.
How do we keep the ball rolling? What does that look like?
That is the fun part, and that is, you know...
You mean that in quotes, the fun part?
Right, the fun part. I have a lot of fun with it, so it should, you know, it puts a smile on my face. But I would say, you know, keeping those events coming. We're going to have the same vendors. The majority of our vendors are produce vendors, and the majority have signed up for an entire season at the market, which is nice. So we know we're going to get a lot of return vendors coming back. Obviously, as the market grows, and kind of back to the chicken and the egg thing, if I keep getting a lot of people to come be involved in the market, they're going to want to sign up as vendors, and it just rolls, it snowballs. And, you know, after the first market, I had four people at that market come and try to sign up for a booth. So those are people that came to the market, saw how nice it was, and was like, I could do that. And that's kind of the spirit of the market.
As someone who would bring my family to that, what I appreciate about what you're saying is getting the consistency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the full season means that if I'm going to miss you 1 week, I can come back the next week and get what I
Hopefully,
need.
Hopefully,
Right.
Yeah, that's, that's meaningful.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about what you've got planned for Mother's Day, and then maybe talk about kids' days.
So the kids' days are, I think, going to be really fun. Obviously, this is my first year doing a market and my first time being with the chamber. And what has been communicated to me is that the kids' days are the best, which makes perfect sense. The parents got to drive them, right? Unless they're walking in
and from grandma, grandpa and grandpa come. And uncles, right.
But it's really a great opportunity to, you know, let the kids have a little entrepreneurial spirit.
Yes.
I feel personally, just from when I grow up, there used to be lemonade stands and kids out doing that, and I just don't see it as much anymore. So with the kids' days, I think that's an awesome opportunity for them to get out and to learn, you know, how that works and how to be involved in business in Kearney. And you never know, one of those kids that's selling bracelets or lemonade could one day run the flower stand and sell out, you know?
So kids' day, just to be clear of what you're saying, it's not for kids to come and have fun and play necessarily. Right. It's for kids to come set up booths and sell their products.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And you know, on my side of things, if the kids come, like you said, the parents come and the grandparents come and the dogs come. But yeah, it's the kids. So if you're a kid out there and you want to start a little business in Kearney and make a little side hustle at the market, reach on out, and we'd love to have you. Because
I'm assuming it's pretty affordable, which is another important part of that, which makes it kind of a low stakes for them to try to get involved and see what that's actually like and what that could actually be.
Right.
Because I think even as adults, folks, a lot of people think, I would love to work for myself, until they do. And then they're like, maybe this isn't what I thought it was going to be.
Right.
And so, you know, learning some of that as a younger kid could be really valuable.
Yeah, our kids markets, we have three of them that we've planned out, obviously not during the school year. They have school to be doing. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be June, July, and August on the third weekend of the month. And so that's really kind of a nice summer project to do. But like you said, very low stakes. It's $25 for all three markets. So, it really is just like knowing who's going to come out is more what that's about. And being able to place them in a position where they could have success if they choose to come out to the market and have some fun. So very much looking forward to the kids' days. And I think those are going to be highly, highly attended days.
Yes. And what about Mother's Day? What do you have planned for that?
Mother's Day.
It's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Well, but the market is today.
Yeah.
So do you have anything planned for that one? I know it's on a Sunday, but.
One of our vendors has so graciously offered up 100 marigolds, and we have one of our local businesses, Turnkey Realty, is going to come out and plant the marigolds to give to the mothers. So,
help the children plant the
children
marigolds.
Or anybody who wants to plant them. But you're going to probably leave that one to the kids. Dad, if you need flowers, you can buy them at any one of our vendors. But, so the Mother's Day, it's going to be great. Yeah, because,
good.
And it is a big step for one of our vendors to, they believed in having the community involved so much that they said, we're coming out, we'll give you the pots, we'll give you the marigolds. Like, this is how much we think that these events and it being a community market rather than just a farmer's market.
Right.
They really believe in that. And that's already been reflected on week two. So
you're one market in. Mm-hmm. You're super excited about it. If you could shoot the moon, if you could do anything at the market, what would it be?
If I could do anything at the market, well, I've got a lot of really cool ideas. And the nice thing about some of the stuff I'm thinking of is it's not quite shooting the moon. they're attainable. One of the things I really liked is I'm very involved in animals. I wanted to get some animals out there. And so week one, if you were there, you saw the cute little calf brought in by Bull Run Roofing.
Yep.
It was a hit. So
yes.
Shoot the moon, that was a nice one. It ended up working out. Live music is another one. Some markets have live music. I know Liberty does. I know Lawson does. And I've been at those markets with the live music, and it really kind of sets the tune for the market. People really bite on live music, as we all know. And on the days we can't have live music, we did get a big speaker stack, so we have music playing out there anyways. But, those are two.
And even if you just have live music for a portion of it,
right?
Maybe we can't do it the entire time.
Absolutely.
But still getting it in there. And again, it's going to bring different people that maybe wouldn't come to the market normally.
Yeah.
Again, how many pools of people can we get?
Right. Yeah, we want to make sure that there's something for everybody in the whole community at the market, mm-hmm. which is, part of the reason for the name change.
Right.
The live music's great. Food trucks is obviously something that a lot of markets have as well that we're working on. Again, with timing, we run an early market, and that's by design. Right, we don't want the produce and the fruits and vegetables and the flowers being out there all day long. They're going to go bad by the end of the market.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the heat. And May is not too bad, but when we get into June, July, August markets,
the dead dog days of summer,
going to get hot.
That's right.
But with the food trucks, you get a burger truck, you get a pizza truck, you get a taco truck at 7 a.m. It's just not going to fly for them. So having them come in a little bit later, kind of similar to the live music, I'm not going to have a concert going on in the Kearney parking lot at 7 a.m., maybe around 10 to noon or something like that, but to really open that up.
But if you do, make sure it's really loud and obnoxious.
Yeah,
at 7
yeah.
There you go. Yeah,
that'll,
there you go.
The community will love that one. They'll say, put it back to the farmer's market. We're done.
And just in case Casey Wolf and Slugger are listening,
yes, Casey Wolf and Slugger. We worked client-connected projects with the Kearney High School and in anticipating this market season. They helped us out, and we had one group of students that was fantastic, and they were like, hey, why don't you get Casey Wolf or Slugger to come out and be at the market? So that's a real shoot-the-moon one.
That's a shoot-the-moon.
But Casey Wolf and Slugger. come to the market, please. We need you. The community wants to meet you. And, you know, I think that's just a cool way to show that we are still part of Kansas City, right? We're Kearney and we're far up north, but we support the Chiefs. We support the Royals.
Yeah.
So lots of really cool ideas. What's nice about having that first market under my belt is now I know a little bit about how to run one. I kind of wanted to leave off the super fun stuff and the events until we hit the ground. So now we're running.
So what are some of the fun special events you're planning?
So some other special events we're planning. Obviously, fall heavy is there's some really stuff, good stuff going on in fall. We have our trunk or treat October 25th. October 4th, that's the day of Oktoberfest as well, which we also run. You know, just really, we're trying to lock in with the seasons a lot. And that's something that's a challenge to communicate to the public just in the eyes of like, hey, this is what's available this season. This is what's available this season. So basically the events really are determined by what's in stock, what people have while we're there. But for May, Mother's Day, and we got Father's Day in June. Father's Day in June. Don't forget about that one. But lots of fun awesome. Stuff, and it's all on the Kearney Facebook, and I've been posting a lot on there, so make sure to keep up.
Is there a website?
There is a website. It's on the Kearney Chamber website. It's under Farmers Market, but the Facebook is the Kearney Community Market.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Well, Spencer, thanks so much for sharing all of that
thank
with
you.
Us. And thank
yes.
you for all the work you're doing.
Thank you.
I greatly appreciate it. Nick, what do we got coming up next?
Up next, Dr. Emily Miller from the Kearney School District will share some updates going on in the district. Next on Kearney Live, stay with us.
Kearney Trust Company is your local bank offering personalized financial services with a focus on what matters to you. From checking and savings accounts to home loans and retirement planning, they're here to help you achieve your financial goals. Kearney Trust Company is a partner for success with two locations in Kearney at 310 West 92 Highway and 701 Watson Drive in Price Chopper. 816-628-6666 or kearneytrust.com. Kearney Trust Company, banking you can trust, member FDIC.
At Kearney Family Chiropractic Center, they believe that your health starts with your spine. Using gentle, effective chiropractic care, they focus on restoring balance to your body and improving your overall well-being. Kearney Family Chiropractic Center is taking appointments now at 816-628-6738. The office is located at 301 South Platte Clay Way, Suite B in Kearney, and their website is kearneyfamilychiro.com. Experience the power of wellness at Kearney Family Chiropractic Center.
Platte Clay Electric Cooperative is more than just your energy provider. They're your neighbors, too. For over 85 years, they've been powering homes, businesses, and communities in the Northland with reliable, affordable electricity. As a cooperative, they're owned by you, the members. That means every decision they make is focused on serving your needs, not profits. From maintaining safe and efficient power lines to offering energy-saving tips, they're here to support you every step of the way. Platte Clay Electric Cooperative. Empowering communities and energizing life with safe and reliable energy.
There have been some things going on in the current legislative session that may impact Missouri schools. And there's also been a lot happening in the school district this year. So Dr. Emily Miller, superintendent for the Kearney School District, is here to tell us all about it. Welcome to the show, Emily. Good to see you. Right, so let's start with the good stuff. Like I said, we've had a lot of great things going on, and I think you've done really well at highlighting that, but this time of year that people get pretty reflective, and I think it's great to look back at the year as a whole, at the academic and the athletic successes we've had. So, tell us about it.
You know, last week we celebrated our retirees and our Teacher of the Year. One of the things that we did was we looked back. Dave Fortzenbach is one of our retirees. And so for the last 5 years, we've had 11 state championships.
Oh, my gosh.
That's almost unprecedented. And so it's just, it's absolutely a testament to what our kids can do, what our families support. But beyond athletics, academically, our kids just continue to thrive. We've done some data digs, and so really when we go back and look at our 2024 data, just on our MAP testing and of course exams, ACT, out of 22 tested areas, Kearney School District, 15 out of the 22 scores either 1, 2, or 3 out of the metro area. I mean, it's impressive year over year. One of the things we've switched to is we've gone into NWEA testing of grades 3 through 8 to really kind of monitor fall, winter, spring. And again, it's our students are just impressive. A couple of years ago, we were really concerned about COVID data, that we would continue to see that backslide. And we have closed that gap. You know, 80% of our students are performing where they need to be, and we've got 20% of students in intervention where we're trying to get them caught up.
To provide a little further context, can you give people an idea of what you mean by metro schools, like what that is? I'm not sure everybody would know necessarily.
Okay, great question.
We're comparing to?
So we compare ourselves to 11 other metro schools. So that would be your Liberty, your Park Hill, your Smithville, Platte County, Excelsior Springs, Lee Summit, Blue Springs. So 11 big school districts in the metro area. Wow. And we continue to perform.
And now the NWEA, the beauty of that is that we're able to get instant data where the kids are, a real accurate picture, but then also see the progression with the three different tests. You want to talk a little bit about why there are three there?
Yeah. You know, one of the unfortunate things about the MAP test, that's just kind of a year-end snapshot. And so one of the things that we did was we made the transition to NWEA so we could take a test based on standards, fall, winter and spring, so we'd get the results back immediately after the fall assessment, understand how our kids are performing so that way teachers can tailor instruction. It's real-time data that's so beneficial.
I know my kids connect with that idea, mm-hmm. with being able to see their own progress and know I was low, I was high, I'm kind of in the middle now, I know where I am or whatever that looks like. So that's been, I know at our house has been enjoyed.
Yeah. So I feel super inept between the two of you, but I'm going to hijack your interview for
sure.
Just a second, if that's okay,
because
I am super super interested in, and I think other people might be as well, and now I just forgot what it's called, open enrollment.
Open enrollment.
What? I know that's still an issue,
yeah.
Still trying to figure those things out. What are you preparing for? What do you project might happen?
So, just for point of clarification, so open enrollment has passed by the House for the last 5 years. It's not been passed by the Senate. It's not gone onto the governor's desk. So that is still very much a bill, House Bill 711, that's in play. And again, these last 2 weeks of the legislative session, a lot can happen. So it can snowball into an omnibus bill, so we're watching that closely. House Bill 711 was authored by Brad Pollitt from Sedalia, who's a former superintendent. There's also a Senate version of the bill that would be, I believe, more harmful to public education. If this were to get passed, school districts would have the ability to opt into open enrollment. However, students could voluntarily leave the district.
So whether you opt in or not.
Whether we opt in to take students or not. So,
okay.
And I believe right now there's a 3% cap on the number of students that could leave annually. So, you know, again, I think it's really educating our patrons on whether, if it were to pass, I want to be clear, if it were to pass, whether that's a good thing for our school district. We are roughly 2/3 locally funded. So if we were to take students from other districts, essentially Kearney taxpayers would be subsidizing part of that education, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Only the state money would travel with the students that are coming to the district. So it's just something for us to consider, especially as we really want to be mindful of class sizes and capacities in schools. Is this a good fit for us? And I think that's a topic the board will have to wrestle
with. Who determines the 3% that come in?
So, you know, that's
right. What are the criteria? Right, right. Mm-hmm. Who's monitoring that?
School district can't be in a pick and choose situation because that would be discriminatory. However, states like Kansas just passed this last year. So Blue Valley, I've followed Blue Valley a little bit and pulled their policies on how they've enacted it. And what they've done is they've set conditions. Okay, we will accept students in schools that have less than 75% school capacity. And we'll accept it in classrooms that have less than 75% capacity. Mm-hmm. And so it's really kind of limited and mitigated the influx of students within their district. I think it was relatively small.
How does that criteria keep districts from potentially recruiting?
I don't have a good answer for you there.
Yeah. Yes. You know, that's my concern, right. It's a big spot to open up.
Right. And we've had some internal discussions. You know, Kearney's appealing in a lot of respects. You know, we're mm-hmm. 3,400 students. It's a beautiful sized district. Our kids perform academically. They perform athletically. They perform in activities. So it's desirable in that respect. So mm-hmm. I don't have a good sense of what the impact would be.
Wow.
Yeah. So we just wait. I mean, essentially, we're waiting to see what this.
We're waiting to see. Again, it's been passed out of the House. Will be the fifth year. We're waiting to see if this gets swept up into an omnibus.
One or 2 weeks left in session.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, the Governor Kehoe mentioned he was a proponent of open enrollment in his State of the State address. So I think that's why there was a little more momentum behind this particular legislative session.
So with open enrollment, I personally think of it always at the high school or junior high level. With our elementaries being redone, somebody coming into the district, how do they get selected to go to a certain elementary? Do they get a pick, or how does that work?
If open enrollment were to pass.
If it were to pass, yeah.
So again, the district would really look at school capacities. Similar to what I mentioned with Blue Valley, what schools are below the 75% capacity, what classrooms are below 75% capacity. So we would really isolate and determine where we have availability.
And was that considered at all when you paused the fifth elementary? Because if you built the new elementary, obviously that would probably capacity-wise change some things. Was that a factor?
No, we didn't consider open enrollment as a part of that decision. I think we would just look where the students naturally reside. Mm-hmm. I think our community appreciates neighborhood schools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Awesome.
Wow. Well, let's talk about some good stuff. Let's talk about people driving around the community and seeing all the great work that's happening at the schools.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about that. We tried to, you know, we made the pause on elementary number 5.
Yes.
The goal was to reallocate those dollars and really let's mm-hmm. make great what we have. Tell us about
it. Yeah. So if we go back a couple of years, and prior to me being part of the district, really what started that conversation was we wanted future-ready spaces, flexible learning for our elementary students. Mm-hmm. We also wanted more classroom space for special education programs. And then they developed the concept of the fifth elementary school, which would take some capacity off the other schools where they could create those spaces. In 2022, post-COVID, inflation and construction costs were just absolutely skyrocketing. And so what we thought was going to be a $31 million elementary school quickly ballooned to being at least $34 million, plus we would need to do some infrastructure work along with the property. So it was quickly getting out of control, and we would have had to cut other core projects. So that was the impetus behind the decision. So we quickly changed gears, decided to renovate all 4 of our elementary schools, and I'll tell you, we're super excited about it. So we've got additional classroom space. We've got additional special education space. We're going to have parity across all 4 elementary schools where they're going to have flexible space and flexible learning environments. So one of the things I like to talk about is bringing parity across those 4 elementary schools. Instead of having one bright, shining new school, really kind of bring the standard up across the four.
Yes. And a piece that I don't want to be lost is how well the district has managed those funds and those projects mm-hmm. and the partnerships, because through that we've had additional dollars
yes.
that we've been able to complete deferred maintenance. So can you talk about that a little bit?
So not only did the renovation come in well under the $31 million, we were able to invest those dollars so that we were able to put another $10 million back into deferred maintenance projects. New facade going on the middle school, which it greatly needs. New roof on the middle school. New roof on the junior high. HVAC units yes. going in place. And it's one of that's work that's super expensive, but you don't readily see it.
Not super exciting, no. right? But it has to be done at the same
yes.
time, right?
Right. Yeah. And it's really going to help us get ahead of some of those long-standing defer yeah. maintenance issues.
And to defer some of those things, it actually ends up costing you more in the long run, having put it off. So I'm excited for our schools that you were able to address those things. And I'm actually really pleased with the original decision you made, as hard as that was, and as much pushback as you received from it. It was a genius move.
I appreciate that. Appreciate the support of the board, and there was a lot of people that were very instrumental in that decision. Eric Nolan has done a great job of managing lots and lots of projects. Jeremy McQuarrie is another person that needs to be recognized too.
Beautiful.
Dr. Miller, thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing your thoughts.
You.
Much appreciated.
Appreciate the time.
Yes. Stacy, what do we have?
Well, up next, we're going to continue with our discussion with the school district. We have Erica with the Kearney High School Student Services. She's going to come talk to us about scholarships.
Money, money. All right.
That's right.
Kearney Trust Company is your local bank offering personalized financial services with a focus on what matters to you. From checking and savings accounts to home loans and retirement planning, they're here to help you achieve your financial goals. Kearney Trust Company is a partner for success with two locations in Kearney at 310 West 92 Highway and 701 Watson Drive in Price Chopper. 816-628-6666 or kearneytrust.com. Kearney Trust Company, banking you can trust, member FDIC.
At Kearney Family Chiropractic Center, they believe that your health starts with your spine. Using gentle, effective chiropractic care, they focus on restoring balance to your body and improving your overall well-being. Kearney Family Chiropractic Center is taking appointments now at 816-628-6738. The office is located at 301 South Platte Clay Way, Suite B in Kearney, and their website is kearneyfamilychiro.com. Experience the power of wellness at Kearney Family Chiropractic Center.
Platte Clay Electric Cooperative is more than just your energy provider. They're your neighbors, too. For over 85 years, they've been powering homes, businesses, and communities in the Northland with reliable, affordable electricity. As a cooperative, they're owned by you, the members. That means every decision they make is focused on serving your needs, not profits. From maintaining safe and efficient power lines to offering energy-saving tips, they're here to support you every step of the way. Platte Clay Electric Cooperative. Empowering communities and energizing life with safe and reliable energy.
Welcome back to Kearney Live. I am thrilled to introduce to you Erica Rose from the Kearney High School's Student Services team. Very difficult to say, takes practice. Erica is here to talk with us about our community scholarships, the amazing businesses and organizations that provide these scholarships, and to celebrate our outstanding graduating Bulldogs of 2025. Erica, welcome.
Hi.
Thanks so much for being here.
No problem.
We really appreciate it. So just to get things started so that the listeners can understand, tell us a little bit about your role at the high school and how it connects to student scholarships.
My role is student services. I deal a lot with the senior class and credits and going on to the next post-secondary institution, whether it be college or trade school, getting transcripts sent, all the things. So with that, I work with the counselors, and since I have taken that role on 8 years ago, I am in charge of the local scholarships that the community provides.
Okay, and how many scholarships are there?
Each year varies. It ranges around 25, okay. And then out of those 25, they might offer two or more.
Okay, and they announced what the total kind of amount that is that the community benefits from.
For 2025, it was around $28,000.
Wow, that's amazing. And how many students altogether this year actually received scholarships?
This year, 18 students received scholarships. There were 24 that were given, and 18 students took home over the 24.
Okay, so a few students got two
yes.
or more.
That's
amazing.
Now, you said you've done this for 8 years. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about what it looked like 8 years ago compared to now.
8 years, it was paper pencil.
right?
And it was kind of a mess. So what we have done is put everything online. Of course, it depends on the donor. They could do paper pencil if they choose, and then they get the applications that way. But as far as, like, we have a general scholarship application, and those, it's an online form that they fill out. They will attach any additional documents that they might have, like an essay, a resume, anything like that, and they'll email it to an email address that is provided. And then from there, then I take those and just give them directly to whoever is in charge of.
So when you fill out that form, are they applying for specific scholarships?
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That same form might apply to several of the scholarships, but they have to change certain things for each scholarship.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I know that the Chamber offers a scholarship. They have for many years. The radio station also has a scholarship. Tell us a little more about some of the organizations and businesses in town that are offering.
We have several organizations. The Lions Club has a couple. The School District Education Foundation has several. They actually manage scholarships for people who, if they want to start something, they can manage that for them. Dr. Lear with Long Vet Clinic has one specifically for those interested in veterinary medicine.
Nice.
Meyer Accounting has one.
I know the Rotary Club has one because
yes,
I presented
that
one.
There you go.
So I know that one is there as well.
Yep.
Yeah, there's several really good organizations offering scholarships.
Yes.
So you talked about, it sounds like a lot of the work you do is pretty crucial to students actually making it to graduation beyond the scholarships. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure you probably have had some pretty easy times and maybe some more difficult situations. So any like really rewarding experience that you've had you want to share maybe?
There's been quite a few, not directly related to scholarships, but this year I had a gentleman who got invited, and he knew immediately because I said, well, did you apply for more than one? Nope, that's the one I applied for. But knowing things about, like when you're in it and you see kids and you see what happens through the 3 years that they're with us at the building, and then see those kids get rewarded. It's a pretty neat experience.
What's encouraging is that it sounds like you stepped in and really formalized the process.
But yes, I was given a directive. At that time, Mr. Swarsenbach was our principal, and he's like, we need to clean this up a little bit. So,
but also, you still have the emotion and the caring of this really does make an impact.
Mm-hmm. It is really, that is my biggest thing in the high school is watching the kids come in as sophomores and then all the things they experience, good, bad, all of it, and then walk across the stage in May and see that they did it.
Okay, so you just said sophomores. I've got two that are sophomores mm-hmm. going to be juniors. So if other people like me have kids who are going to be juniors, what do they need to do? What does that look like?
So you'll notice what I see is kids will start applying for college and stuff. So after their junior year, they'll start applying for college. And then, of course, then the thing comes along of, well, what? How am I going to afford this? Where can I find scholarships? All of the high school scholarships are posted on the high school website in the counseling center. It says, I believe it says like life after high school or post secondary okay. opportunities. And then as we get those, we just get information. So I always post stuff because you never know. I don't know what 800 kids are going to, you know, what they're wanting to do. So we post that. I post the criteria, and it's up to them for a lot of those to go into it and look a little deeper and then come back and see me if they have questions. I'll dig in. I'll reach to whoever sent it to me. But for local scholarships, if they need to sit down and do it, we sit down and do it. I just want them to apply.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, so my key takeaway is the information is there, and my kids just need to go out and make sure that they get it.
That is
so there's
correct.
No, Dad, yes. I didn't know.
Right.
That's
yes.
what I'm hearing mm-hmm. of, hey, they
I
are there.
Stuff, I send emails. We have meetings in that auditorium. I okay. have PowerPoints. It's
right.
there.
It's good to know. Yep. Good
I always
know.
Remind our chamber interns, so it's like, we have a chamber mm-hmm. scholarship. Be sure you apply
yes,
for that.
Yes.
And they just look at me like I've got a, mm-hmm. I don't know, a bowl on my head or so, you know, just like, what are you
right.
talking about? So
right.
strange. So how do local businesses or organizations begin to offer a scholarship through the high school?
So I'm thinking back when the radio station started theirs. They just reached out to me. I gave them... you know, I kind of went through the criteria, what we do, what they need to come up with. If there's an application, I have it, or if they have one, then they can use their own.
Okay.
And then if it's something like they want to do something in memory of somebody, I encourage them to go to the Education Foundation and let them manage it because it's much easier. They still have control of the scholarship. They can have a student's name on it if they choose. They can have it. They can have their own committee who picks the recipient.
Mm-hmm.
They have all control. It's just they can. It's a tax deduction, and then they don't have to worry about paying on it or paying the school and all that. The Education Foundation
right.
takes care of that.
Okay, so it's a fairly simple process.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like
mm-hmm. okay.
So the cost of college post-secondary has greatly increased.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the dollar amount of scholarships increase in relationship to that, or are they pretty well the same?
In looking it over for the past 4 years, it has decreased.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. In 22, we had $31,000 mm-hmm. worth of local scholarships, and in 25, we had 28, like I had said prior.
Interesting.
And, mm-hmm.
Any idea why? Any data showing?
Some of there are some like PEO, they have a big STAR scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
Well, students apply for that way prior, and it has nothing to do with like our process or anything. It's something with the PEO organization. And we've had a couple students in years past get that big scholarship, and we haven't had anybody recently. And then they're not looking for, like, the Northland, I'm blank, but there's a couple that are on me all the time, you know, they're not applying, and it's there.
Huh,
and I want them to, I would wish the kids would just come in and ask questions.
Right.
Like, sit down, let's figure this out. And it doesn't have to be local, if wherever they're going, whether it be Mizzou or mm-hmm. Jewel.
I think unfortunately sometimes kids think, well, that's only $500 or that's only $1,000. And my response is, it takes you 2 hours to fill this out and you get it really well, you just earned $250 an hour. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's
like,
huge.
And that's
where else
what
are you
I
gonna
hear.
Do that? Like,
they
you know.
Ask me a lot, like, well, how much is this? And I've gotten to the point where I don't tell them. And it's because number one, the organizations change depending upon applicants, mm-hmm. if they want to do more than one maybe, right. or there's been many right. factors why I don't tell them anymore. But then I get that a lot, Nick. I get, well, it's just $500.
Yeah. Well, and I know at the chamber, ours were always 500. In the last couple of years is when we increased it to 1,000 because the board thought, well, 500 isn't going to but buy a couple of books. Mm-hmm. But now that I have one in college, and this is my third one mm-hmm. actually in college at MU, he's not spending hardly any money on books because it's either all online or mm-hmm. it's something digital that they download or what have you. So 500 actually goes a really yeah. long way.
It's, yes. I don't think, another thing I think, they just don't know.
Yeah.
And we're trying.
No yeah. experience yeah. to understand that mm-hmm. money is money. And
My goal for next year is since we've kind of switched to, there aren't as many kids going off to college. They're doing other things. They're
True.
Doing trades. They're doing.
And that's okay.
And all of our local scholarships want those kids also. Mm-hmm. So my goal is to reel them in. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Between Brian and I, the radio station and the chamber, we had three interns, and all three either aren't going to go to college or are going to Maple Woods to use their A+. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting.
It's an excellent way to do it.
It is.
Mm-hmm. It makes a
Absolutely.
Lot of sense.
Yeah.
A lot of sense.
Huh.
So, Erica, where can people go to learn more? I feel like that's what you've been saying is you just want the kids to come ask. Mm-hmm. Where can students, parents, and anybody really go to learn more about this information?
Anything that has been given to us, local scholarships are done, so it's going to say stay tuned for spring 2025 or 26. And they can email me. The website is another good place. The college websites are a good place. Just type in the search bar. You don't even have to look for it. Just type in freshman scholarships, and all that information will come up. And then Education Foundation has really detailed information on how they handle their scholarships and what their process is if you want to open one or look into their scholarships.
Awesome. We'll be right back with our final thoughts. Stay with us.
Explore a place to visit. Explore knowledge. Explore fun. Explore relaxation. Explore adventure. Explore a hometown. Explore Kearney, Missouri.
And we're back with our final thoughts. Nick, what do you have for us?
This week was Teacher Appreciation Week, so thank you, teachers. As we heard from Dr. Miller earlier, we have quite a successful district in so many ways, and that does not happen at all without the daily work that you do for our students, both academically and how you care for them and nurture them, and all the little things that happen in a school day that really add up to be truly meaningful. Thank you for that. It is appreciated. We're really grateful for you.
And Spencer, do you have a reminder for us?
I do have a reminder to come out to the Kearney Community Market every Saturday, 7 to noon. Get whatever you need. Get flowers, get food.
Have fun.
Have fun. Sit down, stay a while.
Did we say, where is the market?
The market is in the parking lot of the Early Education Center in the middle of Kearney, right off 92.
Very good. And at the Chamber, we have been working hard on producing a new program for our community. On Wednesday the 13th from 6 to 9 p.m. We're going to launch the beginning of this. It'll be held at the First United Methodist Church, and it will be our leadership showcase. And it is open to the community and our businesses. We'd love for everyone to come out and attend. We have a great keynote speaker, Master Lauren Phillips with Advantage Martial Arts. Adam Musto, with the pastor of First United Methodist Church, is going to talk to us about our strengths. We have some other, a panel of great community leaders, and you're going to learn more about our Leadership Academy that we will be launching in September. So for more details, go to the Visit Kearney mobile app in the community calendar section. You can find this, the showcase, and you can register from there. So we hope that you will come out and join us. It is a free event. Well, that wraps things up for us today. We made it through another Kearney Live. Nick Spencer, I was going to call you Stewart again. Nick Spencer,
there we go.
Thank you so much for being with us. Brian, thank you for holding everything together. We appreciate you. Jim, we miss you. Please hurry back. And for everybody else, please enjoy your weekend. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. And we will be back with you next month with more Kearney Live.